the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today's gospel about the raising of Jairus' daughter and the healing of the woman with the issue of blood shows us that faith in Christ is the key to healing and resurrection of our souls, even if it's only a small amount of faith. So Jairus, as the ruler of the synagogue, was a righteous man. He was, you know, very learned in the study of the law of Moses, and he was the very image of one who kept the commandments of the law. We could say he was a morally righteous person. And yet, Jairus' faith was weak because he had to ask Jesus to come to his house and lay his hands on his daughter in order for him to believe that the Lord could heal her. Several holy fathers have pointed out, they compare Jairus with the centurion who had the servant who was sick with the palsy. And when the centurion came to Christ and asked him to heal his servant, Jesus offered also to go to his house to heal his servant. But the centurion refused to have the Lord come to his house. He said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you come under the roof of my house. Say the word only, and my servant shall be healed." And this is extraordinary faith. And it was all the more extraordinary considering that the centurion, in fact, was a pagan and was not learned in the law of Moses. So, as they're going towards Jairus' house, all of a sudden there's a delay. A woman had run through the crowd to secretly touch the border of Christ's garment. Now, we might ask, Jesus knows that Jairus' faith is weak, so why didn't he just go, "Okay, the lady touched my garment because she wants to be healed. All right, we better hurry though, because, you know, we got to get to the house so that Jairus will, you know, his faith will be strengthened and will heal his daughter." But Jesus didn't do this. He stopped everything, and he turns around. There's a big crowd around him, and he says, "Who touched me?" And people, everybody said, "No, I didn't touch you, I didn't touch you." And all these people denied, you know, that they touched him. And then even Peter observed, "Master," you know, he must have been exasperated. "There's a million people around you, and you ask who touched you? I mean, everybody's touching you. I mean, you know, you're in this big crowd." And so eventually the woman, however, saw that she was not hid and came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared before all that it was she who touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now, Archbishop Averroes points out that according to the law of Moses, a woman who suffered from a disease like this was considered unclean and, in fact, was required to remain at home and was forbidden from touching anyone. According to the Jews, she had actually committed a crime by entering the crowd, having made everyone unclean by her mere presence. And so, with fear and trembling, she awaited her just condemnation for her action. So, you see, that was why she was reluctant to come forward and admit that she was the one that touched him. But instead, the Lord calmed her with the words, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction." And St. Ambrose of Milan also sees a connection between the fact that the woman had the issue of blood for 12 years and Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. Because he sees, you know, many times in scriptures, things are presented to us, and they're not just meant only to be a literal fact. They're also meant to be emblematic. You know, they represent things. And so St. Ambrose of Milan sees in Jairus' daughter an image of the synagogue, you know, the whole Jewish tradition and faith. And the woman with the issue of blood he sees as an issue of the church. And as long as the synagogue flourished, the church suffered, as he says. In other words, the Jewish faith had to be, you know, had already become dead to the Spirit, as Jesus, you know, talked about. He criticized the Pharisees because they were very particular about little customs about how many steps they could walk on the Sabbath and how many times they had to wash a cup or a bowl before, you know, and various things like that. So they sort of kept the outer law, but then they didn't honor the spirit of the law. And so this sort of dead kind of Jewish faith had to pass away in order to be fulfilled in the establishment of the church. And of course, this was accomplished by Christ's power to resurrect a dead faith. So we can kind of see that imagery at play in this parable, or in this story here. The Lord often referred to death as sleep. Like, you remember when they said that, you know, Lazarus had died, and Jesus said, "No, he's just asleep," you know. Because sleep is really an image of death. And so while the Lord literally raised Jairus' daughter from the dead and called her soul to come back into her body, we can also see in this an image of spiritual sleep or spiritual death. The Lord once told a man who believed in him and wanted to follow him, but the man said, "But first let me go bury my father." And the Lord said to this man, "Let the dead bury their dead." In other words, those who had no faith, the Lord considered spiritually dead. St. Paul once admonished the Corinthians not to partake of Holy Communion unworthily. In other words, by not preparing properly and reverencing Christ's body and blood, and said that this was the reason that many were sick and asleep among them. He didn't literally mean that they're snoozing, you know, they've taken a nap. He meant they're spiritually asleep, they're spiritually dead. So we can see that sin wounds us and can cause us to fall asleep spiritually, can sort of die spiritually. And one time St. Nikolai of Limerovich pointed out that we're kind of like candles, you know, you've got all these candles here in the church. But if you have a candle, and it's just a candle, it's nothing really. But if you light it, then it gives light. Then it's doing its job properly. And so in a sense, we as Christians have to have our candles lit. And what lights it is the Holy Spirit. So we have to acquire that Holy Spirit. And that's where this faith comes in. Now the Lord knew that healing the woman with the issue of blood would strengthen Jairus' weak faith. So that he had a purpose in mind. This wasn't just coincidence. He didn't just stop, you know, because he was distracted or something. He knew exactly what he was doing. And so, as soon as he had this encounter with this woman and got her to acknowledge her faith, which also strengthened everyone's faith, right then, someone came from Jairus' house to tell him that his daughter had already died and not to trouble Jesus anymore. So Jesus, seeing his despair, comforted him before he could say anything, and he said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." Now this is a big turning point here, because Jairus actually has to make a decision. He has to make a choice. Is he going to just listen to the person from his house and believe sort of just his senses? He knows his daughter's dead. He just got the word that she was. He knew she was near death. And so should he just give up and just say, "Thanks anyway, Jesus, but I guess we're too late," you know? Or is he going to trust Jesus and take a leap of faith, even though, you know, he has kind of weak faith? Well, we know from the gospel what happened next, because Jairus followed Christ. He was willing to believe, even though he was weak, and because of this little bit of faith, his daughter was raised from the dead. And what a fantastic and hopeful image this is for us. Even though someone turned to Christ with very weak faith or turned to him out of desperation, Christ loves us and is merciful towards us, and he will heal our spiritual illness and our spiritual death through his almighty power. Only let us believe and not be afraid to try. Glory be to our God.